In Australia, heaps of us are migrants or the children of migrants. And if you grow up with parents who don't speak English, you, as a child, can often be called on to translate for them. Up the shops, at the bank, at the doctor, at your school. It thrusts you into the world of adults in a very particular way.
My parents are from a province in China called Guangdong, from a small town called Sunhui. Both have worked with Chinese business owners the whole time they've been here in Australia, so they were never forced to learn English. They know enough to get by day to day, like shopping or public transport, but not enough to have a conversation with someone or to watch Australian TV. What kind of things did you have to translate? Everything. All the mail, any forms or newsletters from schools. I would not only have to translate for them, but fill out the forms for them as well. Any words I didn't know, I had to look up the dictionary and try to work out what the hell it meant. I would go to the bank with them and open term deposit accounts with them standing next to me, and I did all the talking. But I remember being on my tippy toes trying to see over the teller counter. That's how small I was still.
That's quite an image, isn't it? And a voice memo sent in to us by Anne Chu from Melbourne. Well, Australia is a country of immigrants, but surprisingly little research has been done on what it's like for children like Anne acting as translators in this way for their parents. Dr. Renu Nachal is a senior lecturer in the School of Social Sciences and Psychology at Western Sydney University, and she is researching the effect that this language brokering, as it's called, has on children and also on the dynamic within the family. So, Renu, how common is it for children of migrant families to act as translators within the family?
I would say it is very common, particularly if the parents are not speaking English. Most children start as early as 8 or 9, and they begin doing this kind of interpretation and translation for their parents. And as we just heard, that is just what they are getting into. Very big shoes whilst they are very tiny.
Where there are siblings, is there often a kind of hierarchy that operates among the siblings about who has to take on this role?
Yeah, particularly if it's, generally it's the firstborn, but if it's a female that's there in the family, then it's the female who takes over.
Oh, really? And so it's often the girls who are assigned the translating role?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think that is?
I think it's maybe somewhat cultural that females can be trusted with this kind of a thing, trusted with their availability. And also, females actually develop language ability quicker than males.
Yes, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, we've heard Anne Chu there talk about doing the banking for her parents as a very small child. Mm-hmm. What other kinds of situations are children often called on to translate for their parents?
Medical situations, at the doctor's surgery, it could be something to do with estate agents, some law matters, all complicated stuff which is way beyond their cognitive thinking and ability to actually look into and translate.
Yeah, and this is where the pressure, I guess, lands on those children, that they are, as we've said, sort of forced into an adult world that they don't really understand.
Absolutely.
Can it impact on schooling too, you know, missing classes?
Yeah. We actually did a piece of research ourselves at Western Sydney University, and we found that a quarter of our participants actually said that they found it very difficult. They were missing school a lot. And some of them also thought that they would quit studying because it was too stressful for them to continue in this kind of a tag-on situation.
Well, let's hear another voice memo sent in to us by a Life Matters listener. This is Jackie Campisi about what it was like for her.
My parents arrived here in 1949. They were Holocaust survivors from Czechoslovakia. And although my father spoke a little bit of English, my mother didn't have any. And so I basically interpreted for her for a few years until she got a proper command of English. Interpreting as a child for an adult parent is quite challenging. It really catapults you into the adult world at a time when you're maybe not always quite ready for it. But the positives for me were that I'd learned pretty quickly how to navigate the adult world, and now I'm pretty good at navigating bureaucracy. Some of the funnier moments were when my mother was actually being quite insulting about the people that we were speaking to in German, and I obviously wasn't able to interpret what she was saying directly, needing to be polite and respectful. But after the event, it was actually quite hilarious.
And wouldn't you like to know what insulting things Jackie's mum was saying that the child couldn't translate? Well, Rano Natchal, you're doing a survey about child translators. You're asking adults, I guess like Jackie Campisi, who we just heard there, to recall what it was like for them as kids. What kind of stories are people telling you?
People tell us stories about how they have, like Jackie, that how they were privileged, that they could learn things quicker.
So in some ways, we've been talking up to now that it can be stressful and difficult, but there are actually some advantages.
Mm-hmm. Because they become, there is a sense of self-efficacy, and they are able to navigate the world by themselves. They become smarter than their peers. So, yes, there is some element of positive aspect there. However, the positive aspects are going to be in place up until parents are understanding about the difficult situations that their children are undergoing. If parents are not understanding, then it becomes more stressful or a burden for the kids.
Right. So, and that, I imagine, is difficult for those children to... You know, I wonder if it is difficult to speak up because, you know, I guess they don't want to be disrespectful, they don't want to upset their parents, and they take on those sort of stress levels.
Yeah, it's an obligation as well that immigrant children have towards their parents, because they see them stressed out for little things, and settlement can be a difficult process in itself. So, yes, they put their hand up and they take on much of the burden. But again, if parents are understanding, that will be really helpful.
Well, let's now meet Anna Duthie, who's joining us on the phone from the east coast of Tasmania. Now, Anna, you emigrated to Australia from Poland in 1982, 12 years old, and you, like a lot of immigrant kids, picked up English relatively quickly, but your parents didn't. Tell us what kinds of situations you found yourself in translating for them.
Yes. Hello, Amanda and Dr. Natchal. Yes, that was quite interesting time for me, and actually it came very it came very natural, and as Dr. Natchal just pointed out, I felt very obligated to translate for my parents. It was just part of our life. There was only three of us, Mum, Dad and I, so I was the interpreter and the translator, and if I had to leave school and translate for my parents, that just was that. There were no even questions asked if I wanted to do it. It was just a thing that had to be done. It was that's how we supported each other, the three of us.
Were there any tricky situations you recall finding yourself in with translating for either or both parents?
Well, the interesting thing was, like Jackie mentioned, that her mother was quite insulting. I was in a situation like that too. But however, in my position was that subconsciously I always thought that both parties could understand the languages, and if I didn't translate exactly what was said, then I would be found out. So
translate, insults and all.
Yes, I had to. And it was quite interesting seeing the surprise on the adults' faces, where I had to translate word for word, and this little kid of 10, 11, 12 had to be quite assertive and quite vocal. So, and coming away from these situations, I remember just turning red with embarrassment, but I felt that I just had to translate as it was said, yeah.
And do you think it kind of changed the dynamic in your family, that you were doing these sorts of in a way, adult things with your parents, for your parents?
In a sense that nothing was secret in the home. Finances, problems, any health issues, I knew exactly what was going on. So going to the bank, going to the doctors. So I guess in that sense, excuse me, I knew exactly what was going on, yeah. even as a 12-year-old.
Well, now you were living in Sydney at the time. Were there other kids around you who were also translating for their parents? I mean, was this all part of life as a migrant kid?
Oh, all of my friends, because most of my friends were migrants, because I felt, as a new migrant to Australia, very comfortable surrounding myself with other children that found English a little bit difficult. So it was just a normal part that you knew that if one of my friends was away, oh, that's right, they were translating for their parents. So it was just a part of everyday life, yes.
Amanda Smith with you, and this is Life Matters with Anna Duthie, who as a child translated English into Polish for her mother, and Dr. Renu Nachal from the School of Social Sciences and Psychology at Western Sydney University, whose research is all about children who translate for their parents. And if this was you too as a kid translating for your non-English speaking parents, what was it like for you? You can post a comment on Facebook. Let's hear again now via voice memo from Anne Chu about the kinds of stress that she felt as a child translating important letters.
Translating naturally moved on to making decisions. I wasn't only telling Mum and Dad what the letter said. I would tell them what they should be doing with it and what the next steps were. This wasn't normal for an 8-year-old, right? They say when you get older, you end up looking after your parents and the roles of care are reversed. I felt like that happened to me since I was in grade 4. It did cause a lot of stress because if I didn't know something, I didn't know who to turn to for help. I felt responsible for them.
You can imagine that little kid feeling worried and responsible, can't you? Renu Nachal, that again is that kind of, it's almost a role reversal that happens within the family, within the family dynamic there.
Yes, absolutely. And we also call this as parentification, where the child becomes the parent and starts making decisions on their behalf. And that can be stressful because they are not very sure what they are doing. It could land their family into bigger trouble. And that is one of the reasons why kids also start gatekeeping. Like we heard from the previous, individuals who were talking about their experience, that they would only translate what they thought was right or what they thought would be okay. So this is a protective kind of a function that children start doing, which is, again, way, way beyond their own age.
Well, now, Renu, you mentioned that, these children can be called on to translate in medical situations. Now, I've heard, stories of where young boys are translating for their mothers at the doctors and having to convey quite intimate or uncomfortable medical information to them. I mean, apart from being awkward, can that be sort of, in a way, dangerous for the adult?
Yes, it can be. And I think it's very embarrassing for the children as well, because if they are saying things which the parent is not understanding, sometimes they are young enough not even to know the right words or terminology, and parents keep pushing them back to say, go find out again, you're not saying the right thing. So there is pressure from both ends, A, to tell the right thing, and B, I would say, from the parent to say, no, what you're saying is not right, it's not making sense, go back and do it. So they are caught in between there, and that's a very, very stressful situation. And I would say, even ethically, that is not very right for someone to talk about their parents or know about their parents, which may be very, very intimate or something which is related to their health.
Well, as I understand it, the rules have actually changed in Australian hospitals in recent years as far as children translating for their parents goes?
Yeah, that is correct. And they do not use child interpreters, but there are interpreters that are qualified to do this kind of a translation and interpretation for people who are visiting the hospitals. But that does not cover for the GPs or everyday medical situations where children probably tag along with their parents, grandparents for that matter as well.
Yeah. And Anna, you had this experience with your mother actually not so long ago when she was in hospital, I think. Tell us what happened.
Yes, that's exactly right. Let's actually go back a little bit. 8 years ago, my mum was in hospital, and she was quite unwell, and I was interpreting on her behalf, and that was all fine. But only about 6 months ago, we went back to hospital. Mum had a little procedure done, and I was stopped immediately. And it was quite interesting how I reacted to it. Mm. On reflection, I took it very personally because I have been doing this for the past 36 years and all of a sudden my help was not accepted or approved of by the hospital. And it was really quite interesting. I felt hurt. Well, it was only 8 years ago. That was quite okay. I went as far as just before her surgery and in the recovery room, yet 6 months ago that I was told, no, thank you. Look, I can understand why they are doing that, definitely. Mm-hmm. But for me, that was quite a shock, especially doing it for the past 36 years and then being stopped.
Yes. And I wonder if in doing that, Anna, it means you've had a closer relationship, in fact, with your mother than you might otherwise have had. What do you think?
Oh, very much so. Very, very much so. Because I know all of her health issues. I've been there every step of the way. So we're very much in tune. And she does ask for my advice, and she has asked for my advice when I was 12 years old. So very much because I was there through all her issues, and that definitely brought us together much closer.
Renu, is that, again, a more positive side of children growing up translating for their parents, that they can actually be much closer?
Yes, absolutely, because it really gets the parent very close with the child. And also, it's like sharing of inclusive moments that they buddy up together and talk about things and previous experiences. So it is a positive thing. However, as I said, if parents are understanding, then it's all good. But if the parents become more demanding without understanding, then that's...
Without understanding the sort of stresses that it can place on
exactly,
the child.
Exactly.
So, Renu, would you like to see in any way more recognition for the role that children play as translators for their parents? I mean, not at hospitals necessarily anymore, but in all sorts of other ways, and perhaps a bit more support?
Absolutely. And that is what my research is all about, that we need to really be understanding, mindful, and have that insight into the child's doing, the kind of help that they are giving. There is a lot of research on adult settlement issues, but the contribution that children have made towards the settlement of their parents has not been acknowledged, particularly within the Australian context. And it will be very, very nice if we are able to conduct some more research, to map out where all kids are doing, and also to acknowledge their effort and their understanding about their parents and the stress that their parents are going through. And if needed, what kind of supports should be available to them? I think that would be also a good thing to do, even if there is a support group that is made available to such children who are translating and interpreting for their parents.
And Dr. Renu Nachal is a senior lecturer in the School of Social Sciences and Psychology at Western Sydney University. Her research is about the effect on children that language brokering for their parents has. And in Tasmania, Anna Duthy, who's translated for her Polish mother since she was a child. Anna, thanks for sharing your experience with us here in Life Matters.
Thank you.
And thanks to you too, Renu.
Thank you.
And tell me, did you translate for your non-English speaking parents as a child, or do you still do it as an adult? What was it like as a child doing that particularly? Let's know on Facebook.